Good morning, everyone. This is Sunday, April 19th, 2020. This is Pastor Howard. I want to welcome you to today's broadcast. As you know, I've been recording these broadcasts because of our service cancellations due to the coronavirus outbreak. And I'm really hoping and praying that it won't last much longer and we'll be able to get back to normal. I think everybody feels that way. And I'm afraid I don't know exactly when that will be. I know the officials are talking about opening up again, but exactly how that will work remains to be seen at this point. So we will continue on as we have been here, trying to make the best of our situation. We've been looking at passages lately that deal with plagues and pestilence in the Bible. That's a major subject that we see. We've seen that God uses things like this to correct and even discipline his own people sometimes. God sometimes allows his own people to face difficult times. God can protect his own people through difficult times like this. We've seen most recently Psalm 91. And yet, even if he allows his people to face disease, we know that he uses it for our good. But we also see in Scripture that God deals with other people of the world, the nations of the world, and even using disease in their nations for his purposes. And we find another outbreak of disease in a passage that we're going to be looking at today, and that is 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5. We find an outbreak of disease that targets an enemy nation of God's people, the Philistines. The Philistines, as you know, were a regular enemy of Israel throughout their history. God allowed them to afflict Israel for various reasons. But we see that God did not ignore that people either. God is always aware of every nation of the world and what's going on there. And in these chapters, beginning in 1 Samuel 5, we see how God dealt with the Philistines. And all throughout these chapters, we find an expression, the hand of the Lord. And in the Bible, we see that that phrase is a symbol of God's power and God's involvement in man's situation here on the earth. God's hand can bring blessing upon someone's life or a nation's life, or God's hand can bring punishment. But God's hand is his power, his involvement, his direction of things that go on in this world. And that phrase comes up again and again here in these passages we're going to look at. We see, first of all, the actions of the hand of the Lord. And then secondly, today we're going to be looking at the response or the reaction to the hand of the Lord among the Philistines. But notice, first of all, that the hand of the Lord gave victory to the Philistines. Here in 1 Samuel 5, verse 1, it says, "And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod." The hand of the Lord gave victory to the Philistines. God's people lost something very important to them, the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence, the central and most important piece of furniture there in that tabernacle. God's people lost it. God allowed the Philistines to take it in a battle. Why? Well, if we go back to the beginning chapters of the book of 1 Samuel, we see what was going on in the life of Israel. And there was a serious failure among the religious leaders. Remember, the book of Samuel starts off talking about the boy Samuel and how he went to serve there with the high priest Eli. And yet God came to Samuel and had a message, a very difficult message for Samuel to bring to Eli. And that had to do with the failure of Eli. And back in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13, God says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." That's what Samuel had to tell to Eli. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were corrupt and immoral men. And all of that was going on in the tabernacle system. And so God took away the most important part of that system, the Ark of the Covenant. You remember when Eli heard the Philistines had come and they had taken the Ark, he fell and broke his neck and died. And then in chapter 4, at the end, it tells about his daughter-in-law giving birth to a son that she named Ichabod, which means no glory. And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel." Commentator Albert Barnes says this: "When the glory of holiness departs from what should be a holy community, the glory of God's presence has already departed, and the outward tokens of his protection may be expected to depart soon likewise." The hand of the Lord gave victory to the Philistines. The hand of the Lord allowed his people to face a tremendous loss, something that was very near and dear to them. I wonder, is what we have lost right now due in part to our own similar failure? We are facing loss. Many people are facing loss, all different kinds of loss. And hopefully it's just for a temporary period. But I think we need to at least evaluate and consider whether God is pleased with our worship, our churches, our attitudes towards God and our own personal lives. God allowed the Philistines to have victory over his people. Then we see another action of the hand of the Lord here as we read on in 1 Samuel 5. Verse 2 says, "When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day." Here we see that the hand of the Lord embarrassed the Philistines. They took that Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, and they put it in the temple of Dagon. Why did they do that? Well, some people think they wanted to increase their God collection, and the Ark to them was an idol, just another idol they wanted to add to their collection of gods, probably as a polytheistic religious system. Perhaps they wanted to do that, or they viewed it as a trophy of victory that their god, Dagon, had allowed them to win. And so they put it into Dagon's temple as an act of worship to Dagon. And yet they found out something. They found out that the god Dagon couldn't even control his own idol. First, Dagon, they find him fallen over before the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. And then the next night, they find Dagon's hands and head were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. You know, God was clearly sending the Philistines a message about the weakness of Dagon, their god, and the greatness of Israel's God. Unmistakable message. The hand of the Lord here was embarrassing the Philistines' religious system and their so-called God. See something that we learn here about God, and that is that God is able to take care of himself. We see here in the midst of such a tragic loss for Israel, God's people are in defeat. And yet we find that God is triumphing over idolatry and false religion there in the temple of Dagon. And none of God's people are involved. We need to remember that God's truth will triumph. God will be victorious. God will win over the falsehood in this world, and he will do that with or without us. We're in a time right now where we have many limitations, even for our church. But we need to remember that God and his work in the world will be just fine. God is still working. God is still a God that seeks and saves that which is lost. And God sometimes chooses to use us, and God can even do it without us. And here we see a scene where God's people are in defeat, they're facing loss, and yet God is showing pagan people the foolishness of their idols, just as he did in this situation. God can do that even today. God can show the people of the world the foolishness of their idols in a time like this, and how utterly powerless those idols are. And God, I pray, will continue to do that. I pray that he will use us as a church. But God is not limited in the same way that we're limited. God can take care of himself, and God will continue to work. So we see the hand of the Lord brings embarrassment to the Philistines. And then as we continue on, we see that the hand of the Lord brought disease to the Philistines. And here is where we see this outbreak beginning in verse 6. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." And they carried the ark of God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. Therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought about the ark of God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people." For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. The hand of the Lord brought disease to the Philistines. We see this epidemic that God brought upon the Philistines here. It was a severe and troubling outbreak. It was an outbreak that caused some sort of tumors, these emerods, as they're called here. New American Standard calls them tumors. Perhaps they were some sort of internal issues as well. Some commentators have suggested that the symptoms here are similar to the symptoms of the bubonic plague. But it was an epidemic. Verse 6, when it first starts out, it says that it spread to, or it came to Ashdod, where the ark was, that city, and the coast thereof. It was also in the areas around Ashdod. And then they moved the ark to Gath. And the same thing happens there, and then to Ekron. And it's just spreading everywhere. It's affecting everyone. Verse 9 says, both small and great. Perhaps the important people and the unimportant. Perhaps the young and the old. It was just affecting everybody. And we see that it caused fear to this nation. Verse 10 says that the Ekronites, when it came to that Philistine city of Ekron, they cried out, saying, "They have brought the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people." They were fearful. They're in terror. They know that this is going to be bad. And the text is clear here that God was behind this. The hand of the Lord, the hand of God was against the city, it says. I think we need to stop and acknowledge the same thing about what is going on in our world today. This is from the hand of God. Imagine one of our authorities standing up in a press conference and saying that. Now, I've not heard him say it yet. Sure, it came from China, but God allowed it to come from China. And here, this outbreak that came to the Philistines came from the hand of God, and it was a warning to them. It was a warning of judgment, even greater judgment that was going to fall as well. And when we see similar things happen in our world today, God is doing all kinds of different things to all kinds of different people, but to the world in general, people that do not know God, this is a warning to them. This is a warning of judgment, greater judgment that is to come upon them if they do not repent. The hand of the Lord brought this disease to the Philistines. So we see the actions of God's hand here, both to Israel and also to the Philistines. But notice the response. Notice the response to the hand of the Lord. What do the Philistines do? Well, we've already read here that they have a meeting of their politicians. In verse 8, it says, all the lords of the Philistines gathered, and they say, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And, they have a sort of a political task force of sorts. What are they going to do? They've got to do something about this. And their response is to send the ark away, send it somewhere else, put it somewhere else, and maybe it'll pass. What are they doing? Well, they're running from God. That's the best that they can come up with. If we can just get away from this symbol of the God of Israel, then perhaps this will pass. And we see at the end of chapter 5, the severe situation that they are in when this disease breaks out among them. Some that die and those that did not die were smitten with these emerods, these tumors. And it says, the cry of the city went up to heaven. This is a word that's used in the Bible of a cry of trouble and distress. It's the same cry that the children of Israel, same word that's used when they were in bondage in Egypt in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. They cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. The Philistines were in distress and trouble. They were crying out about this. They were in such distress. We don't see that God responds to their cries, but these were severe cries of distress, and their authorities, their leaders are getting together. What are we going to do about this? And all they can do is try to run. They're running from God. The people under God's judgment, even today, may have that same response. They can see and they know that they're being afflicted by God. And what do? They run. They run from God. Put God out of their minds and out of their lives. But what should they have done? You know, at a time like this in Philistia or in the United States of America, we ought to see people repenting and turning to God. They should have acknowledged their sin before the God of Israel and run to him. But instead, they run from God. And then as we continue on in chapter 6, verse Samuel 6, we see that some other experts are called in. The religious experts here, chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, 'What shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place.'" They try to call for the religious people, the priests and the diviners. Diviners were people that could supposedly predict the future. You know, they looked to the stars or to whatever else they had and tried to make predictions. You know, we have our modern day diviners. We've all seen the people making predictions out there, the models that are being put out about the coronavirus. And then there are people who argue about those models and they say, no, this is the better model and this is what we should use. But the problem is, you know, nobody knows. Nobody knows the future except for God. And I think one of the good things for us in this time is to be vividly reminded of the fact that we don't know. We don't know the future, how helpless and powerless the experts really are, and how much better to put ourselves in the care of God, who is all-knowing about all things, even the future. So these religious priests and diviners are called in, and they make a suggestion. Verse 3, "And they said, 'If he send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering, then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you.' Then they said, 'What shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him?' They answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was on you all and on your lords. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land. And ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go and they departed?" So they make this recommendation that an offering needs to be made. Perhaps they made that recommendation because they knew about Israel's sacrificial system, and this was a God that required sacrifices and offerings. This was kind of a strange offering that they recommended, perhaps based on their idolatrous practices. Certainly not the kind of offering that God demanded. The offering was 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice. It says, images of mice that mar the land. Evidently, mice were a part of this outbreak. As we know that in past plagues of history, the rats and the mice did have a part in it. And even in this current outbreak that we are in, you know, we're hearing about bats being a possible source of the coronavirus. But these religious people, they recommend that you must present God an offering and make these golden mice and emerods. And that's what they're recommending here. What are they doing? I think this is an example of the Philistines trying to deal with God in their own way, on their own terms. It would have been better for them to go to Israel and say, what must we do? What do we need to do to be saved, to be delivered? What does God require of us? You know, today, that's what people need to say. What must we do to be saved? What must we do to be right before God? You know, the Bible tells us there has already been one sacrifice that has been made. It's already been offered through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." How much better to come to God on his terms. And his terms are only through faith in Jesus Christ, only by faith in Jesus Christ can people be saved today and people be made right with God. Here we find the best that man can do. In the Philistines' situation, their religious leaders, they have their own ideas. They're trying to appease God in some way. It's interesting that they knew about the 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt. Verse 6, the religious people of Philistia say, "Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians?" And Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them. Did they not let the people go, and they departed? You know, word had gotten around about what God did to Egypt. Of course, Philistia was not that far away from Egypt. But they didn't want to go 10 plagues with Israel's God. That was the recommendation of these religious leaders. They saw what they were experiencing as parallel in some way to what God was doing with Egypt. And they said, listen, you don't want to go to 10 with God. You better stop with this one. This is all we can handle. I wonder today how many people know what God did to Egypt. If they really knew, would they want to go to 10 plagues with God? I suspect that not too many important people are even thinking of the action of God in this pandemic. If God has told you what he wants you to do, and he has, it isn't wise to fight against him. You do not want to go to 10 plagues with God. But this is the best that they can do. They are trying to come to God on their terms, in their own way. And then we see the final recommendation that these Philistine religious leaders give here. Verses 7 through 9. "Now therefore make a new cart, and take two milk kine, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them, and take the ark of the Lord, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Bethshemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us." So here they're talking about how to send the ark back to Israel. And they're saying, we've got to build a new cart. And here's how we're going to send it back. Find two cows that are milk cows that have never been yoked to a cart. In other words, they've never been trained to do this, to pull a cart. And also, we're going to take their calves away from them. Now, that doesn't sound like it's going to work. Why would they recommend that? Well, verse 9 explains why. "And see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Bethshemesh, then he," that is the God of Israel, "hath done this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us." Okay, why are they proposing this? Because it's a test. They're setting up a test. For these cows to do something like this would have been totally unnatural, totally contrary to their own instincts, to have their calves taken away from them and to pull this cart that they've never been trained to pull. If they do this, then there's proof that this came from the God of Israel. Evidently, the Philistines, at least some contingent among them, are still uncertain about where their epidemic is coming from. Perhaps there was a debate. I'm sure there was among them. Maybe it is God. No, it can't be God. It could be something else. Could be just a chance. And so they come up with this test, and they're still holding out the possibility that it could all just be a big coincidence. Notice at the end they say, "And if not, we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us." Perhaps there were some who would rather believe that it was just a chance instead of the providence of God. Matthew Poole says in his commentary, "Wicked men will sooner believe the most uncertain and ridiculous things than own the visible demonstrations of God's power and providence. Many people in the world today that would rather believe that this is all a big coincidence that has happened to us instead of the hand of God. Perhaps you've seen some of the news conferences from the governor of New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo. Been in the news a lot as his state has been hit hard by the coronavirus, especially New York City. Governor Cuomo is one who is very famous for his hateful prejudice against conservatives. Back in 2014, he said about conservatives, "Who are they? Right to life, pro-assault weapons, anti-gay. If that's who they are, they have no place in the state of New York because that's not who New Yorkers are." Perhaps you heard just this past week, as he was giving updates and news about the stats, the numbers of coronavirus cases in New York, he made it clear that God was not going to get any credit for anything good that was happening in his state. He said this, "The number is down because we brought the number down," he told the press. "God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that. That's how it works. It's math. And if you don't continue to do that, you're going to see that number go back up. And that will be a tragedy if that number goes back up." Did you hear that? Did you hear what he said? God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Destiny did not do that. Now, to me, Governor Cuomo here is just like these Philistine advisors trying to find a way out of their dilemma and trying, desperately trying to attribute it all to chance, to math. But wait a minute. If we believe the Bible, there is no such thing as chance. The entire world is guided by the providential hand of God. Yes, even the state of New York. It's under the hand of God. But unfortunately, we as God's people sometimes are not much better. The Israelites, they thought they were fine as long as they had their ark. As long as they had their outward religious symbols, they could do whatever they wanted. But God will not be treated that way. God will not be manipulated even by his people. We must follow God. God does not have to follow us. Right now, God is doing something that looks very hard for us to understand. But it is something that for God's people is good. Yes, it has messed up our plans. Big deal. Those plans weren't God's plans, and they should be changed. We need to humble ourselves before God and his hand and accept what he has chosen to do and to allow into our lives. We need to look for the hand of God and follow his leading and learn from his word and pray. We need to pray that our nation and our leaders will not be like these Philistines, but they will see God's hand and pray that they will run to him, not run away from him. Pray that they will humble themselves and seek God through the only way that he can be sought, through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray for our country at this time. We pray for those that are running away from you. We pray for this governor of New York. We pray that he would be humbled before you and that he would seek you through Jesus Christ and that he would see your hand upon his state, which you've allowed to come there. We pray, Father, for our own hearts today that we would recognize that you are in control, that your hand is upon our lives for our good. Help us to believe that and to trust you no matter what happens here in this life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.